Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Just to see what God's going to do, you never know. You never know, man. Praise God. Praise God. But we do want to thank you for coming today and being a part of our service. Last Sunday in tithe and offerings, it was $1,269. And I want to thank you for being faithful in your giving towards the church. You know, nothing in this world could outdo our God. Nothing in this world could outdo our God. I want to share a story. I know you've seen all this stuff up here. All this stuff up here. You know, I work for the post office. We might be in debt, but they're still paying me. That's okay. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Just give me my check. That's all. I got to give God His money. No, but you know what? God is such a faithful God. I started at the post office. It's going to be 4 years this month, in March of 2010. And when I started in March of 2010, I worked on the rural side till October of 2012 on the rural side. That means outside of the city limits of every city. They have the rural side that goes, if you live in the country, you see them driving their own vehicles. That's what I did. In October of 2012, I switched over to the city side in St. Martinsville, and I work till this day on the city side. When you go to the city side, you know, on the rural side, you can wear what you want. I mean, you know, that shorts, whatever, you know, you just whatever. But on the city side, they have uniforms, and you have to wear uniforms. There are certain things. So after being there on the city side a while, they give you allowance every year. And sometime in, I don't know when in last year, there's an allowance, and they gave me $390 to spend on uniforms. And you might say, that's a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but when you're buying uniforms from the post office, it's not a lot of money. Because you see, not everybody, you can only buy uniforms from a specific certain amount of people that sell the uniforms, and you have to be an employee of the post office because they ask you all that to get those uniforms. You can't just go on the internet and buy a uniform. You just can't do it. Now, probably there are ways you could do it. I don't know. Illegal ways. But anyway, you know, they gave me that money, was able to buy, you know, two long pants, two short pants, four shirts, a few caps and stuff. But there's other things that I needed. And for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I kept thinking, I need to go and talk to them and ask them for the allowance again, because that's every year. But I kept putting it off because our postmaster wasn't there and just whatever. But it was just in my mind. And I said, well, because you don't know, they might give it, may not. You never know. They're supposed to, but sometimes they're limited to whatever, budget-wise. And so one last Monday, how faithful God is. Honestly, to say that I prayed for uniforms more, I can't say that. I can say it went through my mind to go ask for more money for uniforms. But God knows what I needed. Jelaine would iron my pants every night, you know, shirts every night, you know, you kind of, you know, long pants, you can't go with shorts, you know, on these cold winter days. And so last Monday, I was driving to work, and we have four city routes. And so I was supposed to be on City 1. Well, they called me while I'm driving. They said, look, we're switching you to City 3. And I said, well, okay, because of somebody couldn't show up and whatever else. Okay, let's get there on that, doing all the work, you know. Well, you know, I'm on the last part of that city route, which is late in the afternoon, 3-something or so. And so I'm driving, and lo and behold, this guy just comes. I'm delivering the mail, you know, on the right side, roundabout, and stops and puts out a letter, you know, for me to grab it, you know, from his vehicle. I said, well, okay, I knew who it was, you know, basically. So I'll go around. I said, now, isn't this service, you know? And boy, he laughed. Yeah. He said, by the way, what size shirt do you wear? So I said, large, you know, and, you know, the size pants, you know, 34, 35, you know, whatever. Oh, okay. He said, oh, okay. He said, pass by the house when you finish. I said, what? He said, just pass by my house, because I wasn't far from where I just delivered to his house, not far. I said, oh, okay. He said, I have all kind of uniform stuff that I've just been saving. He said, I want to give it to you. Now, this guy has been had worked. He's been retired many, many years now for 40 years. A city carrier for 40 years. When I get there, this is all the stuff he gave me. He gave me everything he had. He said, my wife has been telling me you need to clean out the drawers. Because all of this is brand new stuff that has never been worn except the big coat there. There's 10 shirts. And let me tell you, these shirts are not cheap. They're like $40, $50. Pants, $40, $50, $60. I mean, it's expensive. Caps. This coat right here, I know you probably can't see, but on the inside, there's certain things to it. It's not just a regular coat. There's certain things on the inside that's lined and everything. This is probably $300, $400. I didn't realize what I had because it was all in a box till I got home. And I said, Jelaine, somebody gave me this. And we started to pull all that stuff out. And I have to say, it touched my heart. The faithfulness of our God. Now you might say, well, that I brought it, and I almost didn't, because I don't want to be a show off. That's not, and I know you know better than who I am. But I want to show off what God can do. That's what I want to show off. People, these pants have never been worn. The shirts have never been worn. He had them in the drawer. I mean, look, you drive up to his yard, it's manicured. I told Jelaine he was doing yard work in khaki pants, a nice shirt, a belt, and nice shoes, mowing the yard. And he said, you know what? Good people need to have good things happen to them. And I said, Lord, you kept this from me. In drawers. I mean, you know, and his wife said, it's time to clean that stuff. He said, for months, I kept telling her, I think I know who I want to give it to. I think I know who I want to give it to. That's God. Look, there's no limit to what God can do. There's no limit to what God can do. You might say, well, my problem's too big or whatever. Man, let me tell you something. God can handle it all and even give you a little extra. That's called what? A little lanyard? He can give you a little bit more than what you ever desired. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Well, okay, children and the workers. Three, four, that's like four or five kids. Leslie, where's your group? She's being truthful. Next week. Kids, why don't y'all stand? And look, if there are kids around about you, lay a hand on them, okay? Lay a hand on them. And the workers. I know Janice and Jelaine. Father, Lord, I pray right now that you'd help these children to understand your word, Father. Lord, protect them. Lead them and guide them. Be with the workers, Lord God. Let the power of your spirit to rest upon them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Otis, would you please walk, thank you, across. Oh, man, look what God can do. Look what God can do. You mind if I share a little bit about the story of that? Okay. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. Janice's husband, a few months ago, he made the trusses in Kaplan, right on the side of CVS. With the old rice mill, Liberty Rice Mill, they changed it into a truss company. Well, they closed the company down, so he lost his job. And so that's been a few months ago. If you want to bless him, bless him. I know her husband is now, and he was doing it on the side, basically, for extra money, working on vehicles. So anytime I hear somebody needs, you know, a vehicle worked on, I always tell them go to him because I know they needed the work. But he had applied for working on, you know, the little LLVs, they call them, postal vehicles that you drive around, you know. Well, he had the job and he turned it down. You know, it was a little less money than what he was making, so he just felt, well. But they called him back, and that's the first I hear, saying, you sure you don't want it? So you see, look how God can take care of things, people. Look, if you want to work, there's work. There's work. There's work. You can find something. God can make a job for you. Amen. He could do it. He could do it. Praise God. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the book of 1 Kings, there's a man that God raises up known as Elijah. That's E-L-I-J-A-H. Got to make sure we don't, you know, there's the other one, Elisha, you know, I know. And hey, I'm just like you. I get them confused. Those two is like, you know, hey, one letter makes a difference. It does. But this is a prophet, and he was a prophet raised up by God to deliver a message to the Israelites. Much is not known about Elijah, but Elijah had a message from God, and he was to deliver it to God's people. He comes on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17 as a prophet. As a prophet. Now, I know, you know, in today's age, we may not hear a lot about prophets, but God is still raising up prophets. Now, sometimes you'll have people give you cards. I've had them give me cards, and everybody's in the front of their name, they're a prophet. A prophet. What I do when they give it to me, I try not to be disrespectful, but the first trash can I see, I throw it. Because you see, if they have to put prophet in front of it, something's not right. You see? Something's not right. And so, you know, God is raising up prophets. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Look, verse 11, because you need to make sure. It says that, and he gave some, there are apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are the fivefold ministry that God has given to the church for what? To perfect the church. And it's still today. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors and there are teachers that God has given to the churches to go around. And yes, and some act in like two or three different avenues. You know, some might be a pastor, but yet they are teacher too. I mean, you know, they really have a teaching spirit, but they are pastors. Some are prophets or apostles, and they still they might pastor a church. You know, you can be in more than one. Whatever God calls is what God calls. You see? So you see, we can't say, well, just because you're one, you can't be another. No, no, no. It says, and he gave. And that's the thing. He has to put that label on us. Man can't do it. You know, there are certain schools you can go to. If you pay X amount of money, even online, if you pay X amount of money, they'll name you as a prophet, or they'll name you as a pastor, or they'll name, I mean, it's pitiful. It's bad. It's bad. But God has truly raised up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for today. So beware if somebody gives you a card and it says in the front, most, because the prophets that I know, they don't even say, other people recognize it. They just are humble before God. Humble before God. Now, what does a prophet do? Sometimes there are many misconceptions about it, but a prophet is one who speaks in the place of someone else. That's interesting, huh? A prophet is one who speaks in the place of someone else. Biblical prophets spoke to the people on behalf of God. The main idea of receiving and delivering of the message of God on any subject. And really, in the Old Testament, God would raise up prophets like Elijah. And he would go what? To the children of Israel. He would go to who? God's people. And he would speak or herald out a message. Herald out a message by a prophet saying, this is what God says. And the prophet speaks what God says to the people. Now, if they heed it, we don't know, you know, sometimes. But we know from the children of Israel, a lot of times they didn't. They were stiff-necked and hardened. But God spoke unto Elijah many things about the children of Israel. The Israelites at this time had turned their eyes from Jehovah God, and they were turning to a god called Baal. Even going as far as building altars to Baal. Now you got to remember, God chose the children of Israel to be His children. They were supposed to herald out the word of God of salvation. Of how God can provide, how God can heal, what God can do, the miracle work and power of Him towards the world. But yet their eyes had turned to another peon god made of hands. And they were looking to Baal to provide for them. They were looking for Baal to give them prosperity. They were looking for Baal to give them wisdom and help. And let me tell you, anytime anything is put before God, He hates it and does not like it. And they had turned their hearts from the living God to a God that could care less about them, that was made of human hands, that wasn't even alive. It says this in 1 Kings chapter 16. If you would turn there, please. 1 Kings chapter 16. Says this. Look at verse. It says 32 and 33. And it says this. And he reared up. Talking about the king at that time, an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. That's the king. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Now, don't you think God was upset? It says that King Ahab provoked, that's rain, y'all, provoked God to anger. I know the Bible says that God is long-suffering. And to provoke God to anger really meant they were in serious trouble. Serious trouble. How many times have we kind of swayed a little bit and God, in His love, would draw us back unto Him? I mean, just taking us, something we hear or something we see, or God brings somebody to position us back to Him, keeping our focus and our eyes upon Him because He cares for us. He cares for the inward part of a human being. That's why He died. He died for the sins of the human race, so that we could be free of those things and live a life that is pleasing unto our Father. And so they provoked, it says the king provoked the God. But it says this, that without sincere repentance, evil can only get worse and worse. And that's what happened with Ahab, the king. But it says this, that God raises the prophet Elijah to go to the king of Israel and speak to Ahab. Now I want you to turn to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. But before we read that, Remember Elijah and Enoch? What's something unique about Elijah and Enoch? Anybody remember? They never died a physical death. Remember, they were in a whirlwind and they were caught up. Huh? Yeah, they were taken up. Elijah and Enoch. Now, in Revelations chapter, chapter 11. You know the two witnesses that God raises up in the end time for the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation? You know the two witnesses that go to the walls in Israel and prophesy for 3.5 years in sackcloth? You know who they really think they are? Enoch and Elijah. You might say, why do we... Because it never really says who the two witnesses are. But scholars and people believe that it has to be Elijah and Enoch because they never died a physical death. But after the 3.5 years of prophesying, and what they're doing is they prophesying as prophets to the children of Israel, where the whole world's going to see it because all the media is going to be there, trying to turn the world back to God, trying to turn the hearts back to God. And so they're going to prophesy, and it says that they are prophesying, it says in sackcloth. You know what sackcloth means? That's a form of repentance. Remember, you know how they would sit in ashes and they would put on sackcloth as a form of repentance towards God. And so what the prophets are prophesying is the future, yes, but also repentance to the world, trying to turn their hearts back, the world, unto God. For those 3.5 years, can you imagine constant prophecy, constant repentance coming from their mouth, trying to turn the generation of the people in this world? We'll be gone. We're with God. The rapture has taken place. We're out of here. But there's people still left that God still loves and cares about. Every soul. Every soul. It says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And Elisha, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get you hence and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Now here we see they provoked the anger of God, because they were turning to other gods, Baal. God raises up Elisha to go to the king Ahab and trying to convince him to turn to God, and he wouldn't. So the prophet prophesied unto him and said, "Look, from this day forward, you shall not see rain or dew upon the ground." Now, let me tell you, every morning we wake up, we have so much dew on the ground, we could fill up a swimming pool, man. There's just a lot. We have to wipe the glasses. We have to wipe everything, trying to, you know. And there's just a lot of stuff. Just a lot. And so, but he prophesied unto him. Now, we know he didn't know for sure exactly, as far as Elijah, didn't know for sure how long it would last. But it lasted for what? 3.5 years. Now, can you imagine 3.5 years of no rain? Look, when we go about 4, 5, 6 months and we start to see the ground kind of cracking some, you know, especially during the summer, I mean, it gets kind of, look, we need some rain, you know. We need some rain to be able to water the earth and water the grass and do what needs to be done to keep things healthy. But it says this, But Elisha, after he spoke, now he spoke to the king because God sent him. He was a prophet. And God said, go to the king and tell him that dew and rain will not come till it will stop. Now, do you think Ahab believed, Elijah? Pooh, he probably looked at him and laughed, smugged him off. And he said, our God, Baal, because you see, Baal was the god of prosperity. Baal was the one that was supposed to prosper them and protect them. Well, God showed them for 3.5 years that Baal couldn't do anything for them. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the true God Jehovah, was taking care of things. But it says this, that God told Elijah, look, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. Look, you know what that speaks to me? It doesn't matter what's happening in the world, God takes care of His people. When we put our trust and our anchor in our God, and it starts not to rain, because you see, rain is a form of the Holy Spirit, the raining down of the Holy Spirit. It stopped, it ceased, the physical rain. And God was telling Elijah, now I want you to go as his prophet to the brook Cherith. Now he went to this place, and it says that God commissioned the ravens. Now you know what that tells me? That God is over everything in this earth. Over every animal, everything that happens in this earth. He's over it. He commissioned the ravens to go and bring the bread, and he had the water from the brook and the flesh from even the birds to eat. It says, it doesn't say in Scripture, but scholars believe that Elijah stayed there at least 2 years in seclusion and hiding. You might say, well, why? God was hiding him. God told him where to go. No one else is there but him. The only ones that know he's there, except God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the ravens that bring the bread and stuff for him to eat. Because you see, old King Ahab was mad. And every day that passed, during those 2 years or so, he got angrier and angrier at what? The prophet. And wanted to destroy him and kill him. But you see, God is in control. And God was moving upon Elijah. And you know, Elijah would just sit there. He didn't have to work for his food. They'd come in the morning and in the evening, bring him the bread. Bring him the stuff he needed. The water was there. My God! It was like he was in Hawaii or something, you know. Just sitting on the little cots there, drinking his stuff, drinking his pure water. My God! Eating a little bread, eating some flesh, whatever. God took care of the prophet. Let me tell you this. When God commissions you and I to do something, and we step out and do it, God takes care of his people. God takes care of his people. We don't have to worry about tomorrow what's going to happen, or the next day, or the next day. My God, when God is our Lord and our Savior, and we seek Him above anything else in this world, God moves upon the situations in the earth to help His people to accomplish what He desires and wants accomplished in the earth. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, you might say, well, what if Elijah wouldn't have went to the brook Cherith? Well, he would have been in trouble. He would have been in trouble. But he did. He obeyed. And God supplied for him. But after about 2 years, something amazing started to happen. You know, we can get so comfortable with the things we know and the knowledge and everything else. And just comfortable with the Spirit, huh? And even as Christians, sometimes we think, well, God moved this way in this situation. He has to move this way again like that. God can move however He wants to move in whatever situation and how He wants to do it. After about 2 years, Elisha didn't sin against God. Elisha didn't say any evil against God. Elisha obeyed God. And Elijah, the Spirit of God was upon him. God was supplying for him, doing all the right. All of a sudden, one day, Elisha gets up and looks. And the brook is starting to dry up. Probably we would have looked and said, well, Lord, what's wrong? What did I do? And the devil sometimes has us so convinced, excuse me, that we've done something wrong, but that may not be truth. Elijah's heart was just as right the first day he went to the brook Cherith as the last day when he left. The brook started to dry up and it caught the eye of Elijah. And he said, oh Lord, what's going on? And the Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to go to another place. And he was going to meet what? A little widow woman with only a handful of cornmeal and a little bit of oil. And we know the story. He went out there and she was gathering sticks, huh? To make the last bread because there was no rain. That means no harvest. That means no food. That means no flour. That means nothing's growing. And they can't go down to the Super One Foods and get what they want. Or any other store. It's just not there. And he says, little lady, the cornmeal that you have and the oil you have, make me a cake first. Now, it took a lot of faith. Took a lot of faith for Elijah to leave the brook. Because we like that brook. It's not going fast. It's slow. Very easy. I mean, who doesn't like to be waited on hand and foot? I mean, come on now. We could all get used to that a little bit, huh? And had to go to another place. But you see, I'll get back to the story. But you see, God is trying to build the faith of Elijah more and more. Because you see, it took faith for Elijah to go to Ahab and tell him that dew nor rain will come. It took faith for Elijah to go to the brook Cherith and believe God every day for his meal for almost 2 years. It took faith for one day for him to get up and say, Lord, I know you're moving me. I don't like it. I don't like what you're doing. But Father, I'll obey and I'll go to this other place. Zephaniah, I think it was. Where the little widow woman had just a little bit of cornmeal and a little bit of oil. And he tells her, make me a cake. And she makes him one. Talk about faith. The faith of Elijah, the faith of God was poured out upon Elijah. Elijah's faith was poured out upon who? The little widow woman. You know the old saying? Well, faith begats faith. There's another saying. Doubt begats doubt. That's one thing I prayed. I said, Lord, give me people full of faith to believe. To believe. To believe. You see, the faith of Elijah for him to go to Brook Cherith, yes, it took faith for him to go there and stay there for 2 years. And have God provide for him. But probably his faith was kind of laxing there a little bit. Oh, I'm getting used to all this. But God will allow certain things to come, and I know I've said this before, will allow certain things to come to build up our faith again, because if things don't come our way to help our faith grow, our faith will go down in our God. That's why God will allow certain things to come our way so that we continue to build our faith in God. And as Elijah left the great brook of Cherith and went to this other place, Zephaniah, as he went there, he didn't know that he was going to meet this woman. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know if there was another brook. He didn't know what was going on. But by faith, he believed, Lord, you will supply. And she, because of Elijah's faith in God and the faith that was built up in him, as he turned to her, her faith was built up to believe. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for God leading Elijah, and if it wasn't for Elijah obeying God, that little widow woman and her son would have died. Because I'm sure there were many people after 2 years or so, and there was a year and a half left of the drought going on, that many people were dying left and right because of a lack of water, number one, and a lack of food. And who went first? Probably the poor, the elderly, the weak. And let me tell you, there was no food stamps then. God is the food stamp. That's who we trust in. But I tell you what, God built the faith of all these people. And it says that after she made that cake and did that, she went back and there was some more oil and some more cornmeal. My God. I don't know what that widow woman prayed. Or even if she prayed. I know she must have prayed. I can't say that from Scripture, but I just believe it in my... She must have prayed to God something. Lord, help me. Lord, do something. Provide for me. Because she knew that last meal, if she would have ate it, that was it. But faith was built up in these people to believe what God wanted to do. And we see Elijah, the prophet, doing mighty exploits for the kingdom of God, raising him up. You see, his anchor was in Christ and Him alone. Our anchor needs to be in Christ and Him alone. God provided the brook and God dried it up. God will provide a blessing and a lot of times to move us. Not so much physically, but that can happen. But to move us spiritually, to grow, to leap up, to grow. He dries it up and says, come on, Joe. Go in this direction. See, we have to follow what the Spirit of God is saying. We have to follow, if you want to put it this way, we have to follow the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, like the children of Israel had to. I know you might say, well, that was the physical back then. Yes, but we have to follow the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of us, letting Him move in us, letting Him lead us and guide us, and doing what He wants to do. It would have been a tragedy for the prophet to remain longer in the wilderness. Life was moving on. He doesn't want us to stay in the same place spiritually. He wants us to grow. Then God allows the brook to dry up. And a lot of times, when God supplies something, then He lets it dry up, people get mad and angry. And God is not even there anymore. He's off in another direction saying, come on, Joe. Come on, Joe. Come this way. This is where it is now. Come on now. Follow me. Follow my spirit. Follow what I'm doing to get in that right place. Faith had to be tested. The devil attacks is aimed at the faith of a Christian, trying to destroy our faith in our God. Like I said earlier, faith begats faith. If we do not have something constantly testing our faith, it will become weak and it will die. And God will not allow your faith to become weak, and He will not allow your faith to die. He won't allow it. That's why He will allow certain things to come our way. We know that. Just as Job, God, the devil had to ask God if he could do what he wanted to do to Job. Your God is in control. The devil's not in control. His little demon spirits and all that junk, that's not in control of us. Our God is in control, and He will allow certain things so that our faith could be built up stronger than ever before in our God, that we could believe Him for the impossible. Building our faith. We start out here and we climb up steps. Building our faith as our faith is anchored in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. The church, a lot of the church will say, well, you got to put it in this building or this church or this man or this woman. No, 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 no. It's in nothing that this world can offer. Our faith has to squarely be in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. And as we put our faith in that, it builds us up and it brings us to the Father. And He, as our faith is in Him, He will do. The mighty power of the Holy Spirit is leashed out upon every individual. And the power of God moves in our hearts and moves in our lives. And sometimes we don't understand things. Honestly, sometimes I don't understand this, the goodness of our God. The goodness of our God. How He can be so good to us, and sometimes we don't give Him the due respect that He so deserves. My God. When we function in faith, listen to this. When we function in faith and our faith is squarely in Christ and Him alone and nothing else, we are always, always, always guaranteed a victory. It's not maybe so, maybe not, maybe so. No, 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 no. As I put my faith in Him as a Christian, not as a pastor at all, as a Christian that loves God, as I put my faith in Him and Him alone, I am and you are guaranteed victory in every aspect of your life from this day forward. From this day forward, guaranteed, guaranteed the cross of Calvary and nothing else. I'm going to leave you with this last statement. We need to wake up every morning. Wake up every morning and say, Lord, what wonderful thing you will do today. Wake up every morning and say, Lord, what wonderful thing you're going to do today. That means your eyes upon Him and you look into Him. Praise God. Lord, what wonderful thing you will do today. What wonderful thing you will do today. That's the kind of God we serve, that loves us and cares about us and cares about you. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Praise unto you. Praise unto you. I want you to get, as every house is bowed, get that song ready, The Anchor Holds. We're going to sing that as we leave today. You know, I don't know the situation of everybody's heart today. I know we prayed early. I mean, a great move of God, just with a rededication. My God, thank you, Lord. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart to Him today, would you please raise your hand so we can pray? So we can pray. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Someone raised their hand. So let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me. And your will be done in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. To the person that raised their hand, remember this. God has written your name down, whatever it is, in the Lamb's Book of Life. My God. Praise you, Lord. Huh? Makes you want to shout. Makes you want to run. If we had chandeliers, I'd try to jump. Well, hang on. No. No. They say we do that, so might as well say it's true. Okay. You know, praise God. Praise God. The power of God. Amen. Look, I just want to tell you, we appreciate you. We love you. And I thank God for you. And I hope you have a great week. He's going to play this last song. You can stay and sing it as we sing together. But I mean, I want to leave you on that note. As the Spirit of God reigns, let's lift Him up. Give Him the praise and honor and glory. Go ahead. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, I give you praise and honor, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
My faith.
Thank you, Jesus. He can have a super much.
Sight unknown. And yet His eyes watching me. The anchor holds. Oh, the ship is battered. The anchor holds. Oh, the sails are torn. Thank you.
Thank you.